Wow, that was a long gospel, beautiful gospel, right? The second scrutiny gospel. So I was told at the beginning of Mass that I didn't have my mic on. Go figure. And so that means the folks who are listening to the live stream on our website was not able to hear the introduction today. And so I just mentioned that in the beginning, just to welcome everyone, and how strange it is not to have anybody here, but these are strange times. And we're wearing rose vestments today because it's the fourth Sunday of Lent, which is Laetare Sunday. And Laetare Sunday, Laetare is Latin for rejoice. And so it's a joyful Sunday because we're all the more closer to the Easter celebrations. And who knows if we'll be able to gather for those Easter celebrations, but we are crossing our fingers. We're hoping, if not for the very least, those who are coming into the church, right? But let's go on to the gospel. We just heard the famous story of Jesus healing the man born blind. Did you notice anything peculiar, really peculiar, about the way Jesus cured this man born blind? Do you remember? First of all, Jesus does this miracle by, in the context of him first saying that he is the light of the world, right? Not just a light among the Jews, but the light of the entire world. I mean, that's a pretty audacious statement, wouldn't you say? But then Jesus, of course, backs up his claim. And performing this miracle, of course, was just the beginning. Right? So what does he do next? Jesus spat on the ground, mixing his saliva with the dust of the earth. I'm sure this took a little bit of time here, quite a bit of saliva, to make enough clay for him to do what he did next. He took the clay, smeared, shouldn't touch my face. I remember the five, right? For the coronavirus. Well, he smeared the clay over his eyes. Then he told him to go and wash the clay away with water from the pool of Siloam. And so the blind man went, and once he washed the clay away, lo and behold, the man who was born blind was able to see for the very first time in his life. Jesus defied the laws of nature with this, and the multitude of healings and miracles he performed as well, manifesting that he came from God, who is the creator of all nature, right? And indeed is God, who became one of us to reveal his love for you and me. But why in the world did he have to go through the whole rigmarole of spitting on the ground and making clay? After all, he had demonstrated that he could just heal folks without doing any of that. In fact, he demonstrated that he could heal people without having them even being present. So why fuss with all this saliva and clay and getting all dirty? It's pretty obvious Jesus wanted to teach the people of his time something by doing it this particular way. There was symbolism behind what Jesus did. And if you were an ancient Jew who knew his stuff, you would have picked up what that symbolism meant. It harkens back all the way to the symbolism used in the creation story when God first made man. All right? What's the first book of the Bible? Genesis. And what does it say in Genesis 2:7? The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. So God formed man out of dust from the ground. But what does an artist need to hold dust or earth together and make it malleable? He needs some sort of liquid. All right, and so we know from the Dead Sea Scrolls that there was a tradition in first century Judaism that when God made Adam, or man — Adam means simply man, right? When God made man, he made him out of, quote, spat saliva, molded clay. right? We find that in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So when Jesus spitting on the ground and making clay out of the dust of the earth and his saliva, he was acting as God acted on the day that he first created man. In other words, Jesus is once again giving the world a sign that he not only came from God, but indeed is God become man in order to heal and save us. Rather than outrightly saying it all the time, Jesus is all about giving signs of his divinity so that you not only hear it proclaimed, but you see visible signs or manifestations of his divinity. But Jesus also wanted to perform these signs as indications of what he wanted to do for all of humanity. It's kind of like a foreshadowing of what he would do for all of humanity. And so in this healing of the blind man in this peculiar way, he's cluing us in the work that he has set out to accomplish. That is to bring about a new creation, the renewal of humanity from its fallen state. See, the effect of the fall was not so much physical blindness. Adam and Eve were still able to see, right? But spiritual blindness. And so Jesus uses a blind man from birth to reveal to humanity our spiritual blindness that we are born into. It's that spiritual blindness that kept the Pharisees from recognizing the true identity of Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So Jesus has come to restore our sight so that we might be able to see rightly, so that we might be able to see as God sees. Because remember in whose image and likeness we were made, right? Back to Genesis 1:27, right? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So in whose likeness and image were you and I made? God's image. And so we were made to see things as God sees them. But for this to happen, we must remain united with God. And that is why Jesus came. That's why the Holy Spirit came. That's why he gives himself to us in the sacraments. To wash away the stain of sin and to give us new eyes to see. So let me ask you a question. With what eyes are you seeing right now? Your old ones or with the new ones Jesus wants to give so that you can see the world in his light? He is the light of the world. Without that light, humanity is in total darkness. He tells you to go and wash in the waters of your baptism. He has sent you to wash in the waters of baptism. That is, to renew the original grace he offered to you, probably when you were a little baby. When your parents committed you as a child of God, until you yourself could decide to follow him. To answer his invitation, come follow me. Perhaps since then you've forgotten your identity, your God-given identity. Perhaps you look to false messiahs, mere mortals to tell us who we are, how we are to act, or what we're worth. I know I have. And so this Lent is the time to repent from that. Perhaps you are in the dark, so to speak, that Jesus is the light, the true light of the world. Well, this is where St. Paul's advice that we heard from his letter to the Ephesians comes in, to live in that light. Take in these words from St. Paul once again, but now in light of what we just heard from the gospel. He says, brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake, O sleeper. You've been in a trance in which the world has placed you by all the distractions, the gadgets, the mindless entertainment. Awake, O sleeper. Use this coronavirus time to do a hard reset. You may never have such an opportunity again in the busyness of our lives to do a hard reset. So be who you are, O beloved Son of God. Be who you are, O beloved daughter of God. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.